93.5, 95.3, Connect FM.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, it's 7:34. Always a pleasure to welcome on Mondays and Fridays Hall of Famer Mike Ditka. Mike in Naples, Florida, I think, aren't you, Mike?
I am.
Naples, Florida, and Brother Johnny, site of the Final Four in New Orleans, Louisiana. Johnny!
Yep, down in New Orleans, the Big Easy. The teams, I believe, have arrived.
Okay, so are we talking Bill Parcells in New Orleans, Johnny?
Well, I mean, Mike, I heard they talked to him. I don't know. I like Mike Ditka in New Orleans.
Hey, for what about that? Yeah. Come on.
Do that again.
Well, see, you're saying that, John, you're the only one, most of one, Mike just got out of New Orleans. But, I guess there's always a possibility. I think it would be up to Bill whether he wanted to do something like that on a part-time basis, knowing that Sean would be back next year. But they're very good friends, and he may do it. I mean, and I tell you what, you know, New Orleans couldn't get a better guy. I mean, it would be a terrific thing if they could get him. And there would have to be some conversations between Sean and Bill to get the whole thing down of what they're doing, logistics and everything. But it could be done. And, Bill's a special guy. You know, he's a no-nonsense, right-to-the-issue guy.
Can you, Mike, could a guy who's 71 ramp it up just like that? I mean, could Mike Ditka ramp it up and just do coaching one more year just like that?
No, I couldn't. I'm honest. I thought about it, you know, if they're not. I don't have any desire to. I think, you know, I've been so blessed in my life. I had a desire, you know, at certain points in my life to do certain things, and I've been fortunate enough to be able to do them as a player, an assistant coach, a head coach. It's over. That is all over, and I understand it. You know, that's in my past. That's not in my future. So I got to deal with the realities of what my life is now in the present. It's a glamorous life, you know, to be an NFL coach and this and that. I think you're dealing with different individuals now. I think it's much harder to motivate them. I think it's much harder to get them to do the things you want to do. I think there's too much me and I in this, all of sports. And I think when you do that, you defeat the whole idea, because I was fortunate to play on good teams. And teams are teams. That means everybody is doing what they can to help each other and to help the success of the team. I don't see a lot of that right now. I'm sorry.
Yeah, it's changed. That's interesting, Steve. I'll go with the coach on that.
Yeah. Wow. Well, it'll be interesting if Bill Parcells says yes. Now, I also wonder if Sean Payton is out of football for a year, Johnny, does that mean he can't call Bill Parcells?
I don't know what they've told him. And I'll tell you something. Sean's, of course, he's in trouble, Mike. They had the bounty thing, but he was not cooperating the way Roger Goodall wanted to cooperate, whatever that was. And that was a big mistake. You cannot make a guy who's definitely in control.
You and I don't know, and we don't know what happened, when it happened, what he knew, when he knew it. I think that's a big problem. Sean Payton's a good man. I think you understand that. I think the people in New Orleans and his players understand that. He's a solid person. Sometimes things can get done, and I hate to say this because he said, well, the head coach should know everything that's going on. Yes, he should. Sometimes he doesn't. I mean, that's all I can tell you. Yes, you should know what's going on all the time, but sometimes you just don't. I mean, it's a big job. It takes a lot of time. You're doing a lot of different things. And all of a sudden, something like this could crop up. It could be a personal thing with the defense or the special teams. And all of a sudden, it slips by you. And then when you find out, then, unfortunately, what you usually try to do is push it under the carpet.
Right, and I think, well, Goodall's mad at Sean Payton for more than just this thing, and I don't know what it is. Like you say, we don't know what the exchanges were, but he just keeps referring to, you know, not being forthcoming and kind of dismissing him when he was asking about it. So, anyway, I don't know what they're going to do to keep him from talking, Mike, what the rule's going to be if...
I don't think they can do that. I don't know how that works. Stop them from collaborating in any way. I mean, I understand, but I think the whole thing is Sean is not allowed to be at the facility, is he?
No, I'm sure. No,
he's got to leave.
I don't know. I really don't understand it that well. Yeah. I really thought the punishment was a little severe for the head coach to suspend him for a year. So therefore, if that happened, then what John's saying is right. That Roger Goodell was kicked off.
Yeah. All right, it's Brother Johnny, Mike Ditka, 93.5, 95.3, Connect FM. Johnny in New Orleans for the Final Four. The city obviously knows how to host this party. Do they enjoy the Final Four in the Superdome?
Oh, sure. I mean, anything for just the a night on the town. I mean, the city's made for entertainment, and people like the sporting events. It's exciting, and, of course, got some good teams here. They're playing it in the Superdome. You know how I complain about that, Steve. You can't shoot in the Superdome, which definitely what that does, it means I don't think anybody has a chance at Kentucky, although Kansas, who's not, you know, more athletic than they are finesse, could come in with a chance because it's all about the inside game when you get in these big football arenas. And you're what did North Carolina shoot in the Jones Arena, Steve? 3 for 35 or
yeah,
something? I don't
like
know
that.
What it was, but yeah. It was a shame. And so it's fun. A lot of people, and I think I'm going to be at the Final Four. Mike, I've never gone to a Final Four before.
Because,
really? It'll be fun, but I tell you what, you know as well as I do, John, New Orleans would make a big deal out of a marble tournament. Let's face it; it's a great city. You know, it's the best. No, I'm saying this honestly.
Yeah.
I don't think there's a better city in America to have a major sporting event in. I think the Super Bowl. I think what they do down there is the host city is phenomenal. They'll do a great job in the basketball tournament. Was the NCAA baseball? It wouldn't matter what it is.
Mm.
They do a great job, and they enjoy life. And people go there because they know that they're just more than being able to see the sporting event. There's great restaurants. There's a good time, good people. I mean, there's a lot of things that they put into the equation.
Yeah, Steve. Thanks, Mike. And so they'll be out with bells on, Steve.
Yep,
and
yep.
Of course, Lou and Mary are down
yep,
here.
You're going to have breakfast with them tomorrow morning.
We hope to see them tomorrow.
Yep. And, of course, big news in Champaign-Urbana. John Gross, former Ohio Bobcat coach, is now Illinois' 17th head basketball coach.
I think the challenge is exactly what you just said. And if I didn't believe that could happen, Paul, I wouldn't be standing up here. You know, I think the consistency over greatness line that Pat Riley uses all the time is what we're all looking for. And that's what we want to be about. And that's why I mentioned that vision of being a standard of excellence in our conference. And when you do that on a consistent basis, then you get the opportunity to be a player on the national stage regularly. And there's no question that that's the vision.
Met him last night at the reception, Johnny. Nice guy, nice family. Talked to his wife, a 6 and a 2-year-old young guy. It's first time in my life I've ever been older than every coach we have. So it's hurts me a little bit, Mike. But we have an energetic guy and a very positive glass half full kind of guy, and I love that.
You know, you got a good guy. You got a good guy. You know, and I wish you nothing but the best. You know, I just listening to his comments, I really enjoyed that. I think that's very important what he's trying to create, and they'll do it. The Big Ten, listen, the Big Ten is not what it used to be, but there are a few teams that dominate it. But you know, there's no reason Ohio State or Michigan State should dominate it, or Indiana. I mean, or Wisconsin. I mean, Illinois should be right up there, and they will be up there. This guy's a good coach.
Well, and I, you know, I'm glad it was. It's a tough process, Steve, and he did very well at Ohio, I guess.
Yep.
So, and didn't they, were they not just in the Sweet 16?
Yeah, they just lost to North Carolina overtime. They darn near beat North Carolina.
Yeah.
Yeah, they did a great job.
So
no,
that's that
yeah,
right there is
very good. No, if you take,
worthy of note.
There's only one coach since 1938 that's had a better winning percentage than John Gross at Ohio University. And to take a MAC team to the NCAA 2 times in 4 years, and the only path is to go through the championship at the tournament. It's a darn good job. So I think you got an energetic, positive guy, young guy, and I think, and here's hoping he wins all of his games. All right, we go to politics. Barack Obama on Monday at a summit meeting in South Korea had an open microphone. Bill Plant, CBS, has this.
All of the issues can be solved, the president told Medvedev. But he stressed that it was particularly important for incoming Russian President Vladimir Putin to give him space on the missile defense system, which the U.S. and NATO want to install in Europe.
This is my last election, basically. Yeah. And after my election, I have more flexibility.
This is my last election. After my election, I have more flexibility. I understand. I will tell Vladimir, and I stand with you. Is this an issue, Johnny?
No, I don't think so. I mean, Well, first of all, he might have a lot more flexibility than he thinks, because it'll be a close election. He may have time to do anything he wants. But I don't know, Mike. What he was saying was true. I don't think he said, I'm going to say one thing and then another. What he was saying was, right now, I can't really talk that much about the options.
Well, I mean, but it's the only time he didn't say one thing and then say something else, because he's done that all through his presidential years, and he's done it when he was in the Senate. He keeps contradicting himself on different issues, whether it be on tax breaks for the oil industry or whatever. So, you know, and that's the way he's saying, you know, I have no idea what's going to happen in the election. I just know right now that the American public's a little fed up with a lot of the things. There's a lot of, and you, John, you know it better than anybody else, the oil industry. My God, I mean, is there a reason for this happening right now? Should gas be this high?
Well, I think a lot of it is in our control. I think the things that you do in terms of signaling a plan do make a difference, because of speculation and just how the market works. And from that standpoint, I think Obama's done a terrible job. But there, a lot of it's just what we're reaping what we've sowed over the last 30 years, which is,
absolutely,
you know.
Absolutely.
And so, but no, I think that he'll have a hard time winning the election, but he's definitely got a chance to do it. So, and what he was saying to the Russian representative, Steve, was, well, you know, we can talk about more options, but right now I can't give you any more than whatever he just gave him. And I don't think that'll be a big deal, because we don't expect our leaders to tell the truth anyway. Mm, I mean, it's gotten to where we don't even expect it.
Well,
so,
all right. Earlier in the week, the Supreme Court talked about Obamacare. Justice Kennedy.
The key in Lochner is that we were talking about regulation of the states, right? And the states are not limited to enumerated powers. The federal government is. And it seems to me it's an entirely different question when you ask yourself whether or not there are going to be limits on the federal power, as opposed to limits on the states, which was the issue in Lochner.
I agree, except, Mr. Chief Justice, that what the court has said, as I read the court's cases, is that the way in which you ensure...
By all accounts, it did not feel like a good week for Barack Obama and Obamacare because of some of the comments by some of the key justices, including Kennedy. And I don't know. I'm going to stand by the fact they're going to think this is unconstitutional. You guys both think it'll be upheld. Who knows what will happen in the summer? But, boy, the comments, Johnny, were certainly indicative of their frustration with the 2,700-page law.
Well, Mike and I both said Monday that we thought it would be upheld. And with Kennedy, of course, I thought Kennedy was definitely going to be one that said we can uphold the law, and his comments did appear to question it pretty hard. I don't know, Mike. Maybe it could go down.
Well, you know, it should go down, but whether it does go down or not, you got the government dictating too much in our country, guys. It wasn't meant for that. I mean, it's the government of the people, by the people, for the people. But now this government is it's Big Brother. I mean, it really is. I mean, it's regulating everything, and it's involved in every aspect of your life right now. And I don't think people really need that. I mean, not in the free democratic society that we have. We don't need all that stuff.
I agree, Steve. And I think that there's serious questions about the reach here in the mandate. And then the other part of that is they didn't have what they call severability, which means there's a lot of times they'll say, well, if one part doesn't pass muster, then the rest of it's okay. Well, this time they took that out of bill, so that if this doesn't pass, the whole thing might be scrubbed.
Absolutely.
Which would be amazing.
Well, I mean, in light of how it happened, in light of the way it was shoved down America's throat, it was just not a bipartisan bill at all. Can we ever come to a bipartisan agreement on something like this big? Probably not. But is this going to be better than worse? I think to have the government in charge of health care is a frightening prospect, not necessarily because I don't want everybody insured. I just don't think they have any idea how to do it, and I don't think the government's a very good manager. That's all.
What have they done well lately? Help me. Please, help me. What have they done well lately?
Well, and that's my point too. There are things we could try that are of a smaller scale too.
Yeah,
I mean,
yeah.
You jump into something like this and it doesn't work. You know, what do you do to fix it? You dig a hole deeper and deeper is what happens.
Well, and the IRS is trying to hire 4,000 people for this bill. 4,000 new IRS agents for some sort of regulating.
I mean, if that doesn't scare you, I don't know what will. I really don't.
All right, Brother Johnny, Mike Ditka, 93.5, 95.3, Connect FM, every Monday and Friday, 7:30 to 8. We are enlightened with their presence. We turn to the NFL overtime rule. Mike, it's going to be now what the playoffs had. If a team scores a touchdown, it's over. But now in regulation, in normal play in the NFL, the other team gets the ball if the other team doesn't score a touchdown. I like the fact the other team can touch it. I never liked the other team never gets to touch it.
Well, because it came down to a coin toss. And it was the luck of the coin toss. I mean, if you look at the percentages, the team that won the coin toss in most cases won. So I think that there's no question it's a good rule. It's a good change. And why should it be any different from the league, from the regular season to the playoffs anyways? I mean, the rules are rules. Come on, the rules for the betterment of the game. And the other team should have in my opinion, an opportunity if the first team scores, period.
Yeah, I think that's good, and it changes the way you strategize, too, because, you know, they'd go down there and they just play to kick a field goal sometimes on the 20, and it'll just change everything because you're going to go for a touchdown now because you need to.
Great point.
Yeah. And then, of course, all turnovers subject to review, I think also one of the changes they just made, the owners' meeting.
Well, the main object is to get it right.
Yeah.
I mean, I think the league is on the right track. They're trying to get it right. Listen, nobody's infallible. The officials try to do the best they can out there. They're not perfect. Nobody's perfect. So if it helps get the game right, I know it's going to delay the game. It's going to slow it down, and people are going to. But so what? You're showing another commercial. That's basically all that will happen.
All right, I want to touch on the Trayvon Martin cases again. Tragic situation in Florida. African-American 17-year-old shot, George Zimmerman, a Hispanic-American, neighborhood watch volunteer. Again, this thing continues to heat up, and I'm not sure what's going to happen except to try and find the truth. What happened that night? And we don't really exactly know yet.
Well, yeah, I don't know how you're really ever going to know really what happened that night unless there were bystanders that saw it. You can go by what Mr. Zimmerman says. You can't go by what the young man says because he's not there anymore. And so, I mean, it's a tough situation. I do think that all these celebrities coming out saying the things they're saying is pretty stupid. Oh, really? You can't make it a black-white thing. You know, they went through the thing I watch on Fox, and then the majority of black youth that are killed in this country are killed by black youth. I mean, it's not a black-white thing. It's a thing. Why it happened, I don't know. You don't know. Nobody knows why it happened. But, you know, you can't turn it into a race thing. If you do that, you're killing it.
Well, and that's what it is, and that's what's kind of disappointing because nobody's given it a chance to find out what happened, and the hysteria is probably, you know, over the top. And it's not fair to our whole system of you're supposed to be innocent until proven guilty.
But John, let me ask you a question. You've heard anything from Jesse Jackson or Rangel? I mean, on any other issue except something like this? No, they came out because they want to make it a race issue, and it's not a race issue.
Yeah.
So whatever it is, it's a tragedy. We know that, but it's not a race.
And I think I don't know. It's a feeling of being persecuted, and I think it's definitely hit a nerve there. But the truth is, you know, the civil rights leaders, quote unquote, this is how they make money. An incident comes up, they get out, they say we need to fight it, and then a lot of that's driven by just, hey, raising funds. And in this case, I think they're a little over the top because I don't even know how you would recognize. You know, they're saying, well, you were profiling this because he was a certain race, but I don't know how you would have even known that. It was dark, and the guy had a sweatshirt over his head. I don't know what race he was.
Well, the 911 call, the guy says, I think he's black. I mean, so
yeah,
that was entering the 911 call. They have videotape of of George Zimmerman being brought into the police station, and people say, oh, I don't see any injuries on that guy. He's handcuffed. They see, you should arrest him. You should get him. The Black Panther's putting out a bounty. Why isn't the Attorney General looking into that? I mean, that's putting out a bounty? What is that?
That's a bounty. The Attorney General should have looked into that, and that's the kind of thing that disturbs me. That's a move based on a little leeway for a group, which is based on the race, and that's what we're supposed to be trying to avoid. Yeah. But it's a lot. There's a lot of emotion in these kind of things. It builds into a cause, and that's part of our American process. But you have to be careful because it's a privilege, and if it gets abused, you'll end up one way or another losing it. So you have to be careful what you do with it, with the freedom we have. That's all I get to say.
It's a tragedy to make it a race issue because it's not. And you can spin it any way you want to spin it, forward, backward. It's not a race issue. It's got to do with a guy that was trying to, I think, doing what he thought was right, but he made a tragic mistake.
Yeah.
You don't use a gun. You don't use a gun. Now, we don't know what precipitated him to use the gun. You just don't do that. There's got to be other ways of questioning or stopping somebody that's not in the appropriate place in the neighborhood. Yeah. But don't make it what it is. I mean, these people are going crazy. It's wrong.
All right, the last thing I'll mention before I let you gentlemen go, Johnny, in my hand, I spent $1 to win $540 million in the Mega Millions. So good news. We expect to take home about $210 after taxes and the one-time payout. I've already committed $30 million to churches and charities in Champaign County, so I want all the positive energy to be for my ticket.
Good luck, Stevie. Listen, I tell you something. Hey, Mike and I could use a little percentage too, by the way.
So, you know what? I mean, I tell people all the time, I says, God forbid I win it, but if I did win it, I said I'd help a hell of a lot more people than most people would. But anyway, that doesn't matter. This is incredible. It really is. And I'm watching Fox News now, and this one place in New Jersey, it's incredible. This thing is, I mean, these people are buying tickets like they're, it's crazy. And I think, now they ask me a question. Do I have any tickets?
I do. Do you have any tickets?
I have one. I have one. I told Diane it's a better story if you only buy one.
You have one number for a dollar, and I have 100. I have 100 numbers for a dollar. You know what? The chances are 1 in 766 million. You have a better chance of becoming the president of the United States than you do winning this lottery.
Gentlemen, I appreciate both of you. We'll talk Monday, talking championship game by then, and we'll find out what transpires over the weekend. Always a pleasure. Brother Johnny in New Orleans and Mike in Naples. Thanks, guys. I appreciate you.
All right, Steve. Thanks, Mike. Thanks, Stevie.
Mondays and Fridays, we gather wisdom from Brother Johnny in New Orleans this morning. Mike Ditka, Hall of Famer, icon, all-around great guy, the coach on 93.5, 95.3, Connect FM.